We want to reflect for a few minutes now. 10 years ago tonight, the cathedral in Boston was full. Members of Greater Boston's Haitian community, Boston city officials, state senators and representatives, members of the Commonwealth's U.S. congressional delegation, and area clergy and community leaders gathered to be present together in grief, anger, and worry. It was the night after a magnitude 7.0 earthquake hit Haiti. At least 220,000 people died, 300,000 were injured, and more than 1 million people were displaced. Greater Boston has the third largest Haitian diaspora in the U.S. That first 24 hours, those with family in Haiti walked in a nightmare. Who survived? Who was injured? And what would come next? As president of Catholic Charities at the time, I was one of dozens of nonprofit leaders, public officials, community activists, and volunteers who were gathered by then-Mayor Tom Menino for a coordinated response. Emergency assistance, outreach to people at home, medical care, legal aid, and bringing survivors to the greater Boston area. Esteline Bruno is one of those survivors. She lives in Brockton and moved to the United States in 2010 because of the earthquake.
Listen, in Haiti after the earthquake, my work was collapsed. My house, we lost everything we get. We work hard to get it for many years. We lost it in 1 minute.
She says she had no choice but to seek a better life in the United States for her and her three sons.
There's no work there. There's no way to sleep. We sleep in the street. We slept for many days there. And then, we know, there's no food, there's no way to go to see the doctor, there's no way to restart in Haiti.
She says she took English classes and had assistance from Catholic Charities. Now she's in nursing school.
Sometimes, you know, in your mind, you never forget your country. I had a good life there. But this country, you know, you try to make it, but it's not easy. But we make it.
Her son, Sten Bruno, barely remembers the earthquake. He was only 8 years old at that time, but he says he's thankful for the opportunities he's been afforded growing up in America. He plays football and is in his first year of college.
I took this opportunity and made myself into a football player, made new friends and do new things. It's not all for certain because any day it could go away.
Esteline and Sten are two of 5,000 Haitians in Massachusetts under Temporary Protected Status, or the TPS program. The Trump administration tried to end TPS for Haitians 2 years ago, but it was extended until 2021 due to pending court decisions. What happens next year is weighing on them.
I've spent more than half my life here. It's not right that we don't know if our future here is certain.
The family sends money to relatives in Haiti, but haven't ever traveled back to the island. 10 years after the earthquake, the nation has been experiencing public protests, calling on the president to resign. People there are facing fuel and electricity shortages, and the cost of living is going up. Michel DeGraff studies Haiti at MIT, where he runs the MIT Haiti Initiative. He still visits the island and says one of the biggest needs is for nation building across class and language divisions.
So there's a Haitian proverb that says, wash the l'eau, pas qu'on doule, wash the soleil, meaning that the rock in the cool river, in the water of the cool river, doesn't understand the pain of the rock that's drying up in the burning sun. And this has to change. We have to go beyond being rocks. We have to be human beings that can have empathy, solidarity, and transcendence across social classes and use our common assets like our language and our culture to build a nation that's politically strong, that's socioeconomically strong.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.